Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor Nicodemus. He gets into this deep conversation with Jesus and then just kind of left by the side of the road as the gospel reading progresses. Well, that's kind of typical, as you know, of the Gospel of John. There are all these kind of speeches in which the original thing that is being asked kind of gets lost in the, like the people who come to ask, "We would see Jesus," the Greeks. And it goes on and talks about all kinds of stuff, but it never says that the Greeks get to see him. That kind of stuff is typical of this gospel. But they're memorable and great theological depth in this gospel and in this story. Notice Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night to be illuminated. And we're reminded that in the very first chapter of John, we hear about the light shining in darkness. And in the original Greek, there are interesting details. Nicodemus comes alone, and yet maybe you noticed as I was reading it, when Jesus says "you," he's really speaking plural, and Jesus says "we believe" and "we." And so it switches from that singular one-to-one to some kind of larger conversation. When Jesus says "you," he's really saying "y'all," you know, it's a plural. Which tips us off that this isn't only about Nicodemus, but about the early church as it relates or is breaking loose from its Jewish roots and synagogue. It's about faith and the working of God, and it is about us, those of us who are gathered here today, because we're reminded of the working of God in the life of individuals and the life of the community, and that is mysterious. That is ambiguous, as potent as it has always been. Think of how often you have heard that phrase that's gotten to be popular in our culture, "born again." And in the reading, it says "born from above." A little secret there, and that is the Greek, absolutely same word can be translated either way. And so it's a matter of kind of how are you understanding it when you think about it. Do we think in terms of being born again or being born from above? When Jesus speaks of being born of water and spirit, do we think of the water of the womb or the water of baptism? And when Jesus speaks about the wind blowing where it chooses and compares that to those who are born of the Spirit, poor Nicodemus is totally befuddled. And it kind of makes our minds reel as well. This is Trinity Sunday. But maybe it's appropriate that we have a kind of sense of awe, because if we don't have it, somehow we're not paying attention. It's mysterious. You know, one scholar said that the Trinity is not a puzzle to be solved, but a mystery to be adored. That's what this day is about. It invites us to encounter God, to experience God's presence and purpose in our lives and in the life of this community. Or maybe we could just sum it up this way. God is greater than our minds can comprehend. A week or two ago, we had a conversation in our text study group about the work of the Spirit. And one of the members grew up Missouri Synod, and even older than I am. And he made the point that the Spirit is always greater than the church. That the Spirit is out working in the world. The Spirit is loose. And sometimes things happen that are Spirit prompted that are completely out of our control and maybe outside of our understanding. So Jesus, well, think about people for a moment. Think about your children. Sometimes you just kind of are mystified. Huh? Think about your spouse. Sometimes it's like, really? We have those reactions sometimes to one another. How much more is that true of God? And so Jesus uses parables and analogies to help his hearers catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God, and yet even that is not always clear. I grew up hearing that parables were told to make the lesson simple. And as I read the parables, they're kind of like little bombs left along the road. And you read them and you think about them and all at once, oh my goodness, I didn't think of that. And so they really are just kind of constant surprises. God challenged Job, you remember that, where he says, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Have you commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Or St. Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Well, like the Pharisee Nicodemus, we need to come to terms with the fact that no matter how great our minds, how earnest our search for understanding, God is great. But that's okay, because it's not about whether we understand, it's about whether we trust, whether we believe in God. All the mind-blowing things that Jesus says to Nicodemus here, it finally comes down to this: God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. The good news is that God loves the world and his people. God loves you and you all with a love that is both profound and passionate. God loves the world and is saving it, even though the world is beset all the time by ignorance and refusal and sin and all kinds of misunderstandings about people in conflict with each other. What God asks is not knowledge, but trust that you are loved of God. In the second reading today, from Romans, Paul makes that point. We are family. The Spirit bestowed on us in baptism folds us into the family of God, giving us the same rights and inheritance as Jesus, our brother. We adopted children have the right to approach God, as Luther said, just as children to a loving father. Earlier this month, we observed Mother's Day. Next month, we observe Father's Day. Think of children learning to speak. Karen was talking about that, trying to get a grandchild to learn the words. They learn that they have the power. They have the power and the privilege to call dad and mom to say Dada and Nana or Mama or whatever. And they come. They respond. And that's just an amazing thing, amazing power that children realize they have. A great gift. I hope all of us have had the blessing of loving parents, but whether or not, we can still come to God saying, Abba, Father. You can call and in love God hears and answers because the heart of the story is the love of God. It seems to follow that everything that originates, you know, that connects you originates from God's side. You don't decide, but God calls. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus to be more diligent in studying Torah or to offer more sacrifices or make more generous offerings. We're not told that the way to see the kingdom of God is to pray more, study more, believe more earnestly. It's God's doing. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Some years ago at a men's retreat, Dr. Don Jewell, who at one time was a professor at Luther Seminary, I'm not sure where he is now, but he lectured on the parable of the sower, the story in which some seed falls on the path and some on rocky ground and some among the weeds and all of that, some on good soil. And he said, it doesn't make much sense for a farmer to say to the dirt, be good dirt. Just doesn't get you very far. The simple fact that is, in some places, faith erupts. In some places, community comes to life. And some places, it doesn't. And it is a mystery beyond our control. What the parable says is that the church is to keep spreading the seed, even as it wrestles with the mysteries of faith and unbelief. It's like that were the words of Jesus. You must be born from above. Jesus didn't say be born in the sense that you're in control of it. What the word convey is this, the ability to see the kingdom of God is something only God can bring about. It's a new birth. And birth, I don't know what kind of chemical signals pass from child to mother in the process of birth, but whatever, it's a pretty passive deal for the child. Being born from above is no more in your control than that. And the first reading talks about the mysterious presence of God. You know, the train filled the temple and the angels were flying and all that stuff. But God is also the one who loved the world unconditionally and gave us his Son, whose spirit is like wind that blows where it wills, yet moves within us. This God we know in Jesus of Nazareth. So in these readings, we hear about someone being overwhelmed by the mystery of God, someone else being impressed by the fact of being embraced in the family of God. But for us being born from above, our lives involve both faith and mission. Because God's love is for the world, and not just for us, not just for you. That love needs to be told and shared in as many ways as we can. Isaiah responded to his vision with these words, here am I, send me. And Jesus includes all of us in his words to Nicodemus. We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Do we do it? Do we wonder at the mystery? Do we share the treasure? Do we express God's love in the way we live in this world? May the God of all majesty and mystery keep us believing and belonging, keep us active in ministry and mission, and in relationship to one another, now and always. Amen.